Now, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection held its third public hearing today. Today's hearing focused on former Vice President Mike Pence, his responsibilities and limitations under the 12th Amendment, and pressure from former President Trump on Pence to unlawfully overturn the results of the 2020 election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been watching or listening to the hearing today? What do you think? What questions do you have about what came out? What do you hope we still find out? Are there things that you think should be done when it comes to accountability for people involved in that, changes to laws in the future? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lily Gorin is professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University. Lily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on today, Ron.
Before we get to today's hearing, Lily, could you highlight some of what you took away from the first two hearings leading up to this?
Well, again, the committee is kind of trying to lay out a sort of clear understanding not only of what transpired in the assault on the Capitol on January 6th, but also what led there in terms of, you know, how the people who came there were inspired to come there, what the plan may have been, who was involved in any planning, and also, you know, sort of discussions and understandings of what was going on in the Oval Office, in the White House, and conversation about, you know, what the election outcome was, how the president had been, you know, alerted and it had been explained to the president, and, you know, what his then sort of response to the presentation of those facts has been.
The focus today, again, on Vice President Pence and pressure from President Trump in particular to try to get him to claim unilaterally this power to ignore the electoral slates from different states. Lily, a lot of the drama, of course, was the violence, the assault in the Capitol. Supposing that hadn't happened and the crowd had stayed peaceful that day, how shocking would it be, though, to see a president trying to have a vice president claim this non-existent power and ignore the results of an election?
I think that would have remained quite shocking. I mean, I think it was made even more so by, obviously, the assault on the Capitol, the fact that, and if those who are watching the hearings today or listening to some of the testimony, we saw footage again of Vice President Pence and many of his staff and his family being escorted out of his office that's off the side of the Senate chamber. And so you have all of those things that did transpire under this umbrella of violence and attack, and people also advocating for hanging the vice president or killing the vice president. And even if none of that had happened, the advocacy to a vice president that he or she has the capacity to essentially invalidate the votes of any number of citizens in a variety of states because the president doesn't like the outcome is shocking.
I want to give a listen to one of the live witnesses today, former federal judge Michael Luttig, a conservative lawyer, a mentor to a lot of prominent figures in the conservative legal world and others. Here he is, and I think it's a quote that people will turn back to over time.
That declaration of Donald Trump as the next president would have plunged America into what I believe would have been tantamount to a revolution within a constitutional crisis.
Can you respond to that and the other testimony from former Judge Michael Luttig?
What he is talking about is, you know, again, if the vice president had followed through on what he was being pressured to do, and there were two tracks that he was being advised he could take, he could either essentially suspend the counting of the Electoral College votes on January 6th and send the Electoral College votes back to the states to be reanalyzed, I guess. Not the votes themselves, the Electoral College votes, but the votes in the states themselves and thus the slates of electors. That was one option. And the other one was to essentially invalidate the slates of electors, say that they were not valid electors. And both of those would be, as my reading of the Constitution, the 12th Amendment, the Electoral Count Act of 1887, and sort of longstanding norms and traditions in the United States, both of those would be extremely unconstitutional options. And so what Judge Luttig was talking about was, if the vice president had followed that path, then you would have had not only a constitutional crisis, because the constitutional structure would have been essentially undermined by this move, which isn't allowed in the Constitution, and you would have had significant violence in the street, likely, because there would be a response from the people who had voted against Donald Trump or voted for Joe Biden with regard to essentially trying to remove then the illegitimately sitting president. I think that's what Judge Luttig was talking about.
Talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at today's hearing of the January 6th Select Committee, focusing on pressure on Vice President Pence to block electoral slates from a number of states, likely including Wisconsin. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a number of opinions on this topic. First of all, I don't think it was an insurrection because we have three branches of government and the riot was only attacking the legislative branch. The second point I want to make is Trump was president until January 20th. So on January 6th, he had a responsibility as the leader of the executive branch to make sure that the election was appropriate and fair. And there is fraud in the 2020 election. I think history will prove that because the Dominion voting machines have not been inspected, and the algorithm.
Jeff, thanks for calling in. Lily, the previous bits of testimony really tackled this. Then Attorney General Bill Barr and so many others, day by day, refuting arguments about claims of fraud.
Yeah, I mean, and that's essentially where you end up on January 6th, is that the investigation, and I think the Trump campaign brought 60 or 62 different lawsuits with regard to this, and that the Electoral College voters voted in December, and those votes were certified by the state legislatures in those states, and then they were then communicated to the United States Congress, where according to the 12th Amendment, there is a joint session that is presided over by the vice president in his role as president of the Senate, and they're opened and counted.
And the concern was raised at the end, Lily, by Judge Luttig and some of the people on the panel, that this isn't about 2 years ago. There are still claims, as we just heard, about Dominion voting machines that some officials in New Mexico were saying, well, we can't certify an election because Dominion voting machines, these are still live issues that Judge Luttig was concerned could lead to a concerted effort, maybe a successful concerted effort to overturn an election in, say, 2024.
Yeah, and that was his, those were his concluding remarks, and that he's also written those up with regard to the possibility that in a future election for president, if the outcome is one that doesn't comport with, say, Donald Trump, should he be running, and his supporters and allies, and these are Judge Luttig's words, that there would be a move in the states to overturn it through a lot of the different machinations that are possible with regard to different certifications of Electoral College voting slates.
We're talking to Carroll University Professor of Political Science Lily Gorin, looking at today's public hearing by the House Select Committee investigating the insurrection on January 6th, 2021. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to what you're hearing? The evidence today, looking at the pressure on Vice President Pence to claim a power to stop electoral votes from being counted from a number of states. Do you think laws need to be changed? Do you worry about future elections? What do you want to see come out of all of this, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now with Lily Gorin from Carroll University. The House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection held its latest public hearing today, looking at pressure from then-President Trump on then-Vice President Pence to overturn the 2020 election by either refusing to count some electoral votes or send it back to states. You can join in with your thoughts, your reactions at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Bob is with us in Grafton. Bob, hi.
Hi, Professor, I may be mispronouncing this, but what do we do in the kind of world we're in now where so many people have cognitive dissonance, I'm probably mispronouncing that, where they believe basically, which isn't true, but they've convinced themselves that it's true. How do we handle that situation?
Bob, thanks for the call. Cognitive dissonance, I think Bob was referring to. But Bob, I think talking about claims of misinformation and claims about voter fraud.
Yeah, and again, I think this is one of the key sort of jobs of the committee and these hearings in particular is to set out the actual facts of what transpired. When you see the images of Mike Pence being escorted out of the Capitol with his family and all of his aides, and you hear from his counsel, as we did today, what it was like that that they escaped the mob by 40 feet, essentially, and that the mob was coming to hang him. That, you know, sort of the reality of what was going on in this assault on the Capitol is sort of made a lot more clear. And as some people have suggested, it wasn't just some tourists visiting in as sort of an aggressive way, shall we say.
Thanks for the call, Bob. We'll go to Anne now in La Crosse. Anne, hello.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for your guest. Just looking at what the hearings and the Senate committee that is running the hearings, I realize that they're trying to, you know, get out as much of the truth as possible. I'm curious what your opinion is on what the results, what they're looking for in terms of the purpose and results of these hearings. Specifically, do you think that this will result in, or are they looking to press criminal charges against former President Trump?
And thanks for the call. And that's a big question. The committee itself can't do criminal charges. But Lily, what do you think the possible outcomes could be here?
Well, I mean, I think this was actually, I mean, today's hearings were a little bit, as we would say, in the weeds, more so than the previous hearings. And you got into a very interesting kind of legal dispute between the two witnesses over sentences in the 12th mm-hmm. Amendment. And part of that has to do with how the Electoral College actually works and functions. And since it's in the Constitution and hasn't been removed, we still need to follow it. And so I think a lot of what the committee is also doing is sort of setting out areas that need legislative fixes. And one of those areas probably is the Electoral Count Act of 1887, when it was initially passed. And it may need some revisions to clarify some of the processes that follow along from the 12th Amendment and Article 2 in terms of the process of electing the president and the vice president. So I think that's part of what the committee is doing, is trying to sort of say, this is actually, we need to write legislative reform in some of these areas to protect against something like this happening again. They're also, you know, sort of making public a lot of the information and the thousands of interviews and hours of depositions that they've done. And that now, and the Justice Department has been following along in its own way, you know, with regard to potentially civil or criminal charges against a variety of people. And I believe in the midst of the testimony today, the Justice Department has asked the committee to send over all of its interviews. So the Justice Department has its interviews. The committee, as you noted, Rob, can't bring criminal charges against the people. They can make recommendations or referrals if they want to. This has been sort of one of the points of some dispute, whether they will do that. And the Justice Department would be the place where you would see criminal charges or civil charges brought against individuals.
Thanks for that call. And at 800-642-1234, talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University about today's public hearing of the January 6th committee, in the U.S. House. Back to your calls now. Ed is with us in Madison. Ed, hi.
Hi there. You know, I really don't have a question. I have more of a comment, and I know it can probably be, it's like a broken record, but for people to come forward and you have this firm belief that the election was fraudulent, and you keep throwing the Dominion card of the reason why, that this was a good reason, and it was an insurrection, not just on one part of our political process. As a person from the outside looking in Washington, I like to see what I'm hearing, but I don't know if this is going to move the dial closer to people maybe changing their mind, or how do you feel that this is actually maybe going to be in the big picture? I know there's so much coming out, and it's really opened my eyes wide open, not just seeing what was on television, which was shocking enough, but when you actually get to hear it to this moment, and then people have forgotten about it. It just is shocking, and I'm dumbfounded that people still keep fighting that narrative that our election process was fraudulent. Yes, I'm sure there could have been a small percentage of fraud because maybe someone tried to vote twice. Maybe someone tried to, you know, maybe registered in different states. We see it with our political governorship here in Wisconsin. Does someone actually live in Wisconsin, but they're trying to run for governor?
Ed, I got you. You gave us a lot to talk about there. Lily, do you think it's an interesting question? Apart from the legal aspects here, does the presentation of what happened leading up to January 6th and on the day, does it, as Ed wonders, change people's minds?
Well, I think that's part of what the committee is doing or trying to do. And I think that's one of the reasons why they had the first hearings during prime time on most of the major television networks, so that they actually have been constructing a narrative understanding of not only what happened on January 6th, but the process that led up to it. And that it wasn't sort of a spontaneous eruption of a couple bad apples. And so what you saw in the conversations today, in the discussions with the witnesses today, was that there was this sort of ongoing press on the vice president to essentially act in an unconstitutional manner. And when he didn't decide to do that, there was then a sort of advocacy that he wasn't a good person, he wasn't doing the right thing, and that, you know, that was problematic, and maybe people should do something about that. And so you had this sort of long explanation of this legal theory presented by John Eastman with regard to the power that the vice president had, which nobody else thinks that the vice president really has, to essentially negate the Electoral College votes as they are counting them.
We had a caller who couldn't stay on the line, Courtney, pointing out the role of former Vice President Pence and his resistance to this pressure, his refusal to get in a car for fear that Secret Service agents would remove him from the Capitol. Can you talk a little bit about the pressure he was under and the role he played?
Well, he was asked quite a few times by President Trump and by John Eastman to sort of execute this plan. And as I said earlier, there were sort of two prongs, two ways that he was told he could execute this plan. And he consulted with a number of people, including Greg Jacob, who was testifying today, who was one of his counsels, with regard to the sort of legality, the constitutionality of all of these things. And he decided, essentially, he came to the conclusion that it was unconstitutional for him to do that. He consulted with former Vice President Dan Quayle. He consulted with Judge Luttig. He consulted with quite a few people. And he kept getting pressure from the White House. It called from President Trump on the day of January 6th, even, to do this. And he didn't do it. And again, you see the mob, the pictures of the mob, and the articulation of what some of the people who were at the Capitol who said, you know, we're coming for Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, because he had, in fact, not done what the president had asked him to do, which was unconstitutional to do.
Lily, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Lily Gorin is professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University. We talked to her about the hearing of the bipartisan House committee this afternoon investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol and the events leading up to it.